Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. The Steelers returned to practice this weekend after having Friday off. Remember, they just got done with their preseason game, their first preseason game on Thursday of last week. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to those podcasts, I did two podcasts about that game. One on Friday, a rapid reaction to the game. And then Saturday's podcast was more of a deep dive into the game tape itself. This weekend's practices were definitely lighter, both practices, without pads, without live hitting. And so, with one of the biggest storylines coming out of that game on Thursday being the front seven, the run defense, it was disappointing to see the Steelers play without pads or practice without pads for a couple days because, again, we didn't get a chance to see how they're addressing some of those problems they had in the running game against Philly. We're not seeing how they're responding to that in practice, so little disappointing, but we still have a lot to get to today, including some personnel changes, guys moving between the first and second units, some thoughts on the safeties and how well they're doing covering tight ends. And then I want to reevaluate the wide receiver position and just talk about where we are right now, given this emergence of Damone Patterson. But let's start today with an injury roundup. The Steelers starting to get closer to full health now. Some of those guys who have been out for extended time starting to work their way back into the lineup, but let's start with some of the roster moves the Steelers made. They waived injured Kyle Meadows, the tackle that they signed last week, and signed Zach Banner in his place, and then they also waived injured interior lineman or center Parker Collins and signed offensive lineman Oney Amoile. I'm terrible with pronunciation. That's probably not how you pronounce it. You know me, but they did sign another interior lineman, so you know, some moves here at the back half of the offensive line group. Again, the Steelers still really searching for another offensive lineman here to emerge. If the Steelers are going to keep nine, they're going to need someone to step up. Haven't had that guy just yet. We'll see if Banner or Amoile can maybe make a move here on the roster. TJ Watt, Bud Dupree, Vance McDonald all remained out all weekend, but all three seem to be getting closer. TJ Watt participated in warmups. He was actually in uniform for Sunday's practice. Participated in warmups, not individual drills, not team drills, but you know, starting to get closer. Again, we've seen him jogging throughout practice. So participating in warmups, just another step for him. I'm hopeful we can get him back, maybe even this week. For Bud Dupree, didn't see him this weekend, although his wife just had a child, so congratulations to him. And he's been working back from that concussion. He was jogging last week. So he's still working back. Maybe another guy we can get back this week or early next week. And then Vance McDonald, who hasn't been seen at practice in a while. I mean, he's been out for, 10, 11 practices in a row now. Vance McDonald was out there catching passes in between drills. So there's no telling when he's going to be back. Now, I did see him walking to the cafeteria for lunch on Saturday with no limp. Now, I'd seen him probably 10 days prior or 7 days prior, and he was walking with a little bit of a limp. So who can say? Because again, Tomlin won't give us any updates on how these guys are doing, calls every injury minor and day to day. So maybe Vance McDonald's getting closer. Again, he was out there catching passes in between drills, but not running around or anything like that. So we'll see. Maybe he might be another guy that we won't see for another week or so. And then Sean Davis missed the weekend with a groin injury, although Tomlin calling it a minor injury. We'll see if he can return to practice either today or tomorrow. And then for Xavier Grimble, he hurt his thumb early in Saturday's practice, sat out Sunday. He's got a cast on it, so that may be a longer-term injury, but you know, we'll see how that goes. And then Marcus Allen also injured on Sunday. It seemed like it was a leg injury. He left with trainers, did not practice on Sunday. So, you know, just going over that, right? It seems like we're getting Watt back this week. Seems like Bud could be back this week as well. We got AB back. We got the offensive linemen are back. Pouncey was back. Gilbert was back. Joe Hayden was back. The three problems on this team right now are, of course, TJ Watt, Bud Dupree, and Vance McDonald. But it seems like those outside linebackers can be back this week. And maybe even Vance can be back either late this week or early next week. And then the Steelers are pretty much back to full health at that point. Now, other notes on the injury front. James Conner and Stephen Ridley were both held out of the second half of Sunday's practice. This according to Tomlin, saying that he wanted to see the younger guys get some reps at the end of practice, so he sat out James Conner and Stephen Ridley. Now, James Conner did have some ice on his groin, and so it seemed like maybe that was a minor groin injury, and so that's why he was out of practice. But Tomlin claiming that not an injury, just wanted to hold him out so that he could see guys like Franklin and Summers and Samuels get some more reps. We'll monitor that over the next couple of days. And then BJ Finney, the biggest news of the day, BJ Finney returned to practice in a limited capacity on Sunday. Of course, BJ Finney being the player that is replacing Ramon Foster at left guard. Great news, as it was expected he could be out for a week or two with that, what was it, a quad contusion. Great news to see him back and back so quickly. Even if he's just limited over the next couple days, the fact that he could potentially even be available for this game against Green Bay on Thursday or at least back to practice shortly thereafter, that's great to hear. And then let's talk about some of those personnel changes, guys moving up and down between the first and second unit. Tomlin has been very clear about this after practice and as his post-practice press conferences, that guys moving up and down like this aren't necessarily a reflection of guys moving up and down the depth chart. It's more about the Steelers wanting to see guys with the first unit, right? Guys who are doing well on maybe the second or third unit, moving up to see them against better competition. So again, don't read too much into this as far as the depth chart is concerned, just the Steelers wanting to see more reps from these players. And let's start with how the Steelers addressed the Sean Davis injury. This is not the first time Sean Davis has been injured at camp. He was injured prior at a time when Morgan Burnett was injured as well. And so what the Steelers did at safety then was put Nat Burr at free safety, Terrell Edmonds at strong safety. Now with Davis down but Burnett healthy, I was interested to see how they would address that. Is it going to be Burr again at free safety, or maybe they could move Burnett to free safety and put Edmonds back in at strong safety? And they elected to do just that, playing Burnett at more of a free safety role and then Edmonds still at strong safety. I think the Steelers and the coaching staff want to see Edmonds getting as many first-team reps as he possibly can. He did play some free safety as well. It wasn't a ton of reps, but there were a couple reps out there where he was the deep safety. He was the last line of defense out there. So interesting to see him getting reps there as well. No telling yet who is the true backup free safety on this roster. Is it Nat Burr? Is it Morgan Burnett? I think that is still to be told. James Washington finally got his shot in Ben Roethlisberger's line for the quarterback wide receiver drill. So again, in that drill, they split the wide receivers into two groups. You're going to have your A group, the best receivers on the team. They are in Ben's line, and then the rest of the wide receivers, they're thrown passes from Josh Dobbs, Landry Jones, Mason Rudolph, the backup quarterbacks. So to this point, it had been A.B., Juju, Marcus Tucker, Darius Heyward-Bey, and Justin Hunter in that line, in the A line, the Ben Roethlisberger line. Now, when there were some injuries at the position, right, A.B. went down for a little while, Juju missed a couple practices, as did Marcus Tucker, you saw guys like Damone Patterson, Tevin Jones come over and get some time in the A group, but not James Washington. I think James Washington might have gotten one day prior to this, maybe not even. I mean, I think this weekend might have been his first time with Ben's unit. And so I'm glad to see again the coaching staff acknowledging the success he's having throughout camp so far. It's definitely going to be a process for James Washington to earn his spot. You know, again, with Ben's group, then he's going to start getting first team reps, and he did get some first team reps this weekend. So again, glad to see James Washington starting to, you know, to get more and more first team reps and first team looks. It's going to become a position battle now between him and Justin Hunter for who's going to be that outside receiver. And then the biggest surprise of the weekend was seeing Daniel McCullers at nose tackle, first team nose tackle. I don't think this is in response to Javon Hargrave, the starting nose tackle so far for the defense. I don't think this is a response to his play throughout camp or against the Eagles. Again, I thought he had a very good game against the Eagles, kind of a lone bright spot in that front seven amongst the starting unit. But good on McCullers, a guy who has been, you know, pretty disappointing throughout his career. There were high expectations for him as a big-bodied nose tackle coming out of college. Never really lived up to those expectations, but you know, the Steelers have kept him around because they believe that he could eventually become a quality nose tackle in this league. And he's having a very good camp, had a very good game against the Eagles, had a big run stop on the goal line on that two-point conversion. So big opportunity for McCullers. And again, you know, for a guy who's in a position battle against Josh Frazier, a player the Steelers drafted from Alabama, you know, you got to definitely think that McCullers has the advantage right now at nose tackle. And then let's start talking about the practices themselves, and we'll start with a very competitive weekend of the seven-shot drill. Again, this is a drill from the two-yard line, offense versus defense. When there is live hitting, there's live hitting in the drill, but again, this weekend was no pads, no live hitting, so not necessarily a walkthrough, still very competitive. The offense winning on Saturday 4-3. And that was the offense's third win in a row. They're starting to do much better in this drill. They won again on Saturday. But on Sunday, the defense got its revenge and got it in a big way, winning either 6-1 or 7-0, depending on how you score a Josh Dobbs quarterback keeper. Again, in a non-contact drill and in training camp when you can't hit the quarterback at all, Malik Golden had a chance to hit Dobbs. Now, maybe Dobbs would have made it in anyway, but I'm going to score that one 7-0 defense. It started with Morgan Burnett, who had very good coverage over Jesse James on the first drill, then tipped one away from Jalen Samuels as he lined up in the slot and tried to run a slant and get inside of Burnett. Burnett was having none of that. And then it ended with LJ Fort getting a one-handed interception with Josh Dobbs looking for Jalen Samuels on a fade route. LJ Fort coming down with a beautiful one-handed interception that again sealed the shutout, or 6-1, whatever, however you want to score it. A big win for the defense that had the defense very excited. The defense continuing to dominate that drill. And then speaking of the inside linebackers, again, without pads, without live hitting, we just didn't get to see the evolution of this run defense or how they're going to address some of the issues that they had on Thursday. We did get to see a couple interesting drills. There was a linebacker versus running back open field drill. The way this drill worked is the running back lines up at the 10-yard line. The linebacker is on the goal line. And then a coach pitches it to the running back, and they have to get into the end zone. It's, you know, it's kind of a two-hand touch type drill because, again, no live hitting. Still interesting, though, and still interesting to see some of the athleticism issues that the Steelers have at inside linebacker. You know, Bostic struggled a little bit. Matakevich definitely struggled in the drill. I thought LJ Fort was decent, although I expected more out of him. Matthew Thomas showed his athleticism. He probably did the best of any of the inside linebackers, although even he wasn't great. His athleticism definitely showed through in that drill. And the same can be said for another drill that they did, which was linebackers covering running backs and tight ends in a receiving drill. You know, and that was another drill where Matakevich struggled. I thought Matthew Thomas was pretty good in coverage. And LJ Fort, again, coming down with another one-handed interception. He had two interceptions just in Sunday's practice. And he's let's talk about LJ Fort for a second. Man, this guy's having a good camp, and I talked about this prior. And I know, you know, the battle for LJ Fort, for a lot of people, had been assumed it's LJ Fort or Matthew Thomas. Who is this team going to keep at fourth as the fourth inside linebacker? But look, I'm not saying Matthew Thomas is having a bad camp. I actually think Matthew Thomas has looked very good, and there definitely should be a spot on this roster for Matthew Thomas. But forget about Matthew Thomas versus LJ Fort. I want to talk about LJ Fort versus Tyler Matakevich and where the Steelers are right now at inside linebacker. It may be too early to make this judgment because, again, we're just one preseason game in, but the athleticism issues that Matakevich has, you know, again, they showed and showed so many times during Thursday's game, and it's not going to get any better, right? I would like to see LJ Fort get some reps with the first unit. I'm not saying he has to replace Matakevich, but we're still seeing Bostic and Matakevich splitting reps at times on that first unit. It still seems to be this position battle. And I'm not saying that LJ Fort should be a starter on this football team either. I'm not saying he's going to beat out John Bostic, but, you know, for LJ Fort, who's having such a good camp, such a good coverage linebacker, right? And doing very well in pass rush as well. Are we sure that it's Bostic versus Matakevich for that inside linebacker spot? Maybe it's Bostic 1, LJ Fort 2. I just like to see the Steelers give that a shot and see. I get that there's going to be questions about Fort and his athleticism, his tackling, his ability to be a signal caller, but those are all the same issues we have with Matakevich. And again, Matakevich not having a great camp, did not have a good showing against Philadelphia. As we go through this process, I'm hopeful that the Steelers will start to give LJ Fort his chance. And then speaking of one-handed interceptions, the best interception of the day was Artie Burns, who got his own one-handed interception covering Damone Patterson on a fly route. Again, Damone Patterson has been so good, you know, beating corners on deep routes, but not Artie Burns, who reached up behind him. This was crazy. Reached up behind him and pulled in an interception one-handed. You got to check that video out on YouTube. I think it's out there. Look for Artie Burns' interception on Sunday. It was incredible, and it was another very good day for Artie Burns, another shutdown corner type of day for him. Man, he's having such a good camp. I really hope that that quality play can translate into game situations. And then sticking with the secondary, we got to see more of that dollar defense on Sunday's practice. Cam Hayward, Stephon Tuitt, Ola Adini, and Keon Adams were your front four. So again, the Steelers going with the second unit of edge rushers there as Chickalo and Higuain were still running together as the starting group of outside linebackers. But behind those four, it was still Morgan Burnett, Cam Sutton, Joe Hayden, Artie Burns, Terrell Edmonds, Mike Hilton, and then Nat Burr in place of Sean Davis. I'm really disappointed that we're not going to get to see more of this dollar defense in the preseason. It sounded like from what Mike Hilton said, from what Cam Sutton said, that this is a defense, again, they're going to keep close to the vest and, you know, not show off until the regular season. I'm disappointed because I'm really intrigued by not just this defense and how it looks, but when are they going to use it? It has been pretty successful throughout camp. They are actually using it in seven on seven as well. So I'm really intrigued by this defense and kind of when it is going to be deployed. Is it just a third and long type of defense, or could we see it in other situations? It's so intriguing. I'm really disappointed we're not going to get to see it in preseason. And then let's talk about the wide receiver group and kind of where the Steelers are right now at wide receiver. I did the mailbag a couple days ago, and we talked about, you know, ranking the wide receivers and kind of where they are. I don't necessarily want to rank the receivers one by one, but I do want to talk about kind of where they are right now as far as, you know, breaking them down. I think they've separated themselves into three different groups, right? There's a tier one of wide receiver on this team, and that is, of course, Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster. You know, AB coming back to practice over the weekend and really not missing a beat. I mean, the guy looks like he's as fresh as ever. Even with the improvement in the secondary, no one can cover AB. No one. Not Joe Hayden, not Artie Burns. I mean, AB has been pretty much unstoppable whenever he's healthy at camp. You know, he had a rep against Terrell Edmonds in the wide receiver DB drill one-on-one. Now, we've talked about Terrell Edmonds and his speed, his athleticism, right? I've been impressed with his ability in this wide receiver DB drill to stay with some of the wide receivers, right? He looks like a corner at times. But when he went up against AB on Sunday, I mean, AB got one step on him and it was over. I don't care what Edmonds ran in the 40. He does not have AB speed right now. AB put a move on him and he was gone. So, you know, look, AB looks fantastic. Juju does as well. They've definitely separated themselves. You know, there's no question who the best two receivers are on this team. Now, that second tier of wide receivers, that's a more interesting group right now. I think you could put Justin Hunter, James Washington, Marcus Tucker all in that group together. You know, for Justin Hunter, you know, he had a good weekend of practices, but again, they were without pads, right? He really needs to prove himself in the padded practices and then, of course, in the preseason games. And I know he only had one catch for 4 yards against Philadelphia. Look, he was only out there for 8 plays. Only 4 of those plays were passing plays. He got one catch for 4 yards out of those 4. That wasn't, you know, just didn't get a lot of looks. I'm hopeful we can see more reps from him throughout preseason. Again, at a time when James Washington is starting to work his way up, you know, I'd just like to see the Steelers give Justin Hunter his due as well while we work James Washington in. Let that be a real position battle between the two, and may the best man win. For Marcus Tucker, you know, there was so much hype coming out of OTAs, coming out of minicamp for him as him being this new great slot receiver in the vein of like an Eli Rogers. I just haven't seen that so far. Not that Marcus Tucker's had a bad camp. He just really hasn't lived up to the hype so far. Now, he did have a couple really nice special teams plays on Thursday's game, and that's really what's going to help him make the roster. I don't necessarily call him a roster lock at this point, but he's definitely on the inside track to making this roster. And then also in that second tier at this point, I would put Damone Patterson. I think Damone Patterson has separated himself clearly from the third tier of wide receivers on this group. You know, Damone Patterson, if you've seen the video that's going around Twitter of Antonio Brown pulling off that out and up move on the goal line, which I don't understand why the Steelers make receivers run that route on like goal to go situations. Again, it's an out and up. The route takes forever, but you know, AB ran it perfectly. The cornerback was spun around and AB made the catch easily. It was a spectacular route. I'm here to tell you that 2 reps prior to that, Damone Patterson ran the same route to the same result. I mean, put the corner in a blender. Patterson was wide open, showing off some nifty route running in addition to his, you know, to his acrobatics catching the football. Patterson has been very, very impressive. And again, he's, you know, he's probably the biggest sleeper on the team right now. we came into camp and no one was talking about Damone Patterson. And now I think everyone's starting to realize Patterson has not just a chance to make the practice squad. He has a real chance to make the 53-man roster. And what wide receiver, you know, is he going to take their place? I think, you know, we go to the third tier. I put Darius Hayward Bay down here, not because he's regressed in any kind of meaningful way. He's still a very good route runner. His speed is still there. He's beaten Joe Hayden a couple times deep. Just too many drops for him. And I know, you know, his hands have been a problem throughout his career. They really have been throughout this camp. He's had times where he's just been wide open and had no reason to drop the ball, but just went through his hands. Disappointing from him. Tevin Jones, Trey Griffey, Justin Thomas, all in this group. You know, Tevin Jones had a moment there where he was, you know, he was having a solid camp. I think he's kind of come off that a little bit. He had a decent weekend of practices. Again, he had that big drop against Philadelphia. And really, the problem for Tevin Jones is that, you know, his kind of poor play on Thursday has opened the door now for Trey Griffey, who's Ken Griffey Jr.'s son. He's getting some looks at wide receiver. And he actually, I think, ran with the first unit a little bit out there. So, again, I'm not saying that Trey Griffey is working his way into the starters, right? I think what the Steelers want to see more out of Trey Griffey to see if, you know, either he or Tevin Jones or which one of these wide receivers could end up on the practice squad. And then you've got Justin Thomas as well, Quadri Henderson, two guys who are kind of competing for that punt return spot. With Xavier Grimble down and Vance McDonald down, I was disappointed we haven't seen more of Bucky Hodges, especially on Sunday's practice. You know, he's got a huge opportunity, right? Because you've got no Xavier Grimble, you've got no Vance McDonald. Farrell McKeever has been struggling. Christian Scotland Williamson is a former rugby player who, again, is trying to learn the game of football. And Hodges comes in as this great receiving threat. And the Steelers needing more receiver types at tight end. Remember, they're lining up tight ends, you know, out wide in the slot. I mean, they definitely want to use these tight ends not just as blockers, but as real receiving threats in this offense. And so that really opens the door for Bucky Hodges. You know, again, Sunday's practice was a quiet one for him, unfortunately. Now, look, Grimble probably still going to be down for Monday and Tuesday's practices, McDonald as well. So Hodges has some chances now really going into Thursday's game to make a name for himself. It's a big opportunity for him. And then let's finish up today talking about the safeties and specifically how well they're doing covering the tight ends through practice. It's becoming a daily routine now that, you know, Jesse James having a good camp, but really having a good camp when he's covered by the linebackers, whether they be inside linebackers or outside linebackers. When he's covered by Burnett or Edmonds, I mean, he's really been shut down, having a hard time finding open space. And you know, again, this is an offense that is not just using tight ends, you know, as an extension of their offensive line. They're using them split out wide in the slot and trying to find mismatches for those guys and having a tough time doing that when it's Burnett or Edmonds covering them. I've been really encouraged. Now, again, no Vance McDonald so far throughout camp. So you know, the Steelers have not. The safeties haven't gone up against the best the Steelers have to offer at tight end. And so, you know, again, take some of this with a grain of salt, right? This may change when, you know, when it's Gronk out there, right? When it's Delaney Walker out there, when it's some of the better tight ends in this league. It may change, but so far, so good for the Steelers covering tight ends. And you know, again, it's been such an Achilles heel for this defense at times. You go back to that Steelers-Patriots game a year ago, and their inability to cover Rob Gronkowski was a huge part of that game, and you know, he really single-handedly beat us in the second half of that football game. So far, I'm encouraged by what the Steelers have done as far as covering tight ends. All right, that's going to do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry. Just two more practices left, Monday and Tuesday, and then we are out. Wednesday is a walkthrough, closed off, and then Thursday, of course, the preseason game. So camp ends on Tuesday, just two practices to go. I'm really hopeful that the pads come back on for these last two practices and we can see live hitting again. We can start to see how the Steelers address some of the problems that they had against the run. We'll recap Monday's practice tomorrow right here on Locked On Steelers.